Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, your words of encouragement will be presented by none other than Brother Roger Jones. I kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Jones, you are on the air.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast. We trust and pray that all is well with you and yours. We trust and pray that as we go through this pandemic of the coronavirus, that your families are still safe. And if perhaps you have been touched by the virus, we're trusting and praying that your loved ones will recover. And if you have lost loved ones, we send our condolences. We want to change thoughts from 1 Peter chapter 3. We want to look at the greatest sermon that has ever been preached in the history of man, and that was none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. This sermon is called, or titled, the Sermon on the Mount. It is one that is prolific in its contents, applicable to the lives of man throughout the rest of the history of man, and it is something that we need to be cognizant of. We hear a lot of sermons, and since the pandemic, we have been excluded from our buildings, our facilities of worship, but we have continued to worship, whether by Zoom, Facebook Live, conference call, on phones. And some sermons we can remember. We can remember great sermons by men like Dr. Jack Evans, W.F. Washington, Warren Blakely, Richard Barclay, men that are profound and prolific in their delivery, and their contents of message have been overwhelming and influential. But this sermon, which our Lord and Savior preached on the Mount, is one that we need not to ever forget, because in this sermon we find the principle of kingdom children, what it's like to be a child of God, what we're supposed to be as children of God. We as the Church of Christ, the New Testament Church, the church that you can find in the Bible, the one that Jesus built, that he promised to build and did build, we have been more than overzealous in teaching the first principles of the oracles of God, the introduction into the kingdom, and rightly so. But I think we have failed miserably, not only telling people what to do in order to get into the kingdom, but we have failed telling them what kind of kingdom children they're supposed to be. In Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the text said, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." This sermon was taught to the disciples. The multitude may have heard it, may have been in hearing distance. Now, this sermon was designed to teach the disciples what kind of individuals they were supposed to be in the kingdom. It's just not enough to be a member of the Lord's church. It's just not enough to attend on Sundays and Wednesday night Bible studies or Tuesday night, whatever night you may have those services. It's just not enough to wear the name Christian. Jesus is going to develop some principles that every child of God is supposed to have in his or her life that will exemplify what kind of people make up the kingdom of God. We're going to see in this sermon the process in which children are made or to be the type of children in the kingdom. We're going to also see the price and the pain that has to be paid for being a kingdom child. And then we will see the product that it produces, being the type of kingdom children that God would have us to be. Jesus, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word blessed many times is defined as happy. I think that the definition is a little more deeper than that. A person can be happy based on favorable conditions. But what about when curveball that we can't hit? What about when life gives us lemons and we don't know how to make lemonade? Jesus said, even in the most adverse circumstances, you are to be blessed. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and let's look at the word blessed there, and I think this will give us some idea of what the word blessed means. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Be out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And look at verse number 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Well, I think the word there carries the connotation that God approves of a person who is in harmony with his will. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make thee a great nation. I'm going to bless thee. I'm going to approve thee. Not just make you happy. And I'm going and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. In other words, Abram, the people that treat you right, I'm going to approve them. I'm going to approve of them. So Jesus is saying, not just being happy, but blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are God approved, those who are in harmony with God's will. Well, what does the word poor mean? Well, we see ourselves in the true light that we must be bankrupt. There is nothing that we can offer to God that will appease him of our sins, and that he will forgive us of our sins in and of ourselves alone, separate and apart from the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. We are bankrupt. When I was growing up, there were two terms for poor. One was poor and one was poor. When you was poor, you didn't have anything. But Jesus said, blessed, God approved, is the man that realizes that he is bankrupt. There is nothing that he has to offer to God that will appease for his sins. There is nothing that he can do that will justify him in and of himself, separate and apart from the grounds of our salvation, which is the atoning blood of Jesus. He is bankrupt. We must see ourselves truly for who we are, separate and apart from the blood of Christ. We are poor. We are bankrupt. We have nothing to offer to God that can be accepted of God, separate and apart, atoning blood of Jesus. He further says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn Jesus? This is the present participle, which means it's a continuous mourning. What are we mourning about Jesus? Are we mourning because we don't have bread in the cupboard or we don't have food on the table? No, we are mourning because we realize that we are bankrupt. Look at the process now. We realize that we're bankrupt. We have nothing to offer to God. And without the atoning blood of Jesus, we can do nothing but mourn. We see ourselves for who we really are. We're poor. We're bankrupt. We mourn because of our sins. And then he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, the meek has to do with seeing ourselves in relationship to others. We must not allow ourselves to become out of control. We must be under control even in the most adverse circumstances, even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of loss of employment, even in the loss of being able to go to our facilities to worship, yet we're maintaining our worship in various technological ways. We must see ourselves in relationship to others. Then he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Can you imagine a man coming, you have invited to your home, and he hasn't had anything, any food for a couple of days, and he's sitting at the table, and there's a feast set before him, and you have to beg him to eat? Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why is it that we have to beg and plead and prod for people to attend worship? Why is it that we have to beg, plead, and prod for folks to come to Bible studies? Why is it that we have to beg, plead, and prod for members of the body of Christ to visit members who have become slothful, those who have become sick, those who have disjointed themselves from the body of Christ? Jesus says, if you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, no one has to beg and plead with you to come to do these things, because you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. See the process? We're poor. We find ourselves bankrupt. We not only see ourselves as bankrupt, but we mourn because we're bankrupt. And then we see ourselves in relationship to others because we have to learn how to be meek. And then he says we must hunger and thirst after righteousness. The reason why people don't come to Bible classes and worship is because they do not hunger and thirst after righteousness. We'll stop there and give way for a prayer request. Please tune in next week, and we'll pick up where we just left off.
Brother Jones, time does not permit for any requests. If you would please close us out with a word of prayer. Thank you so much for today's message.
Eternal God, our Father who art in heaven, come thanking thee once again for your mercy and your grace. You've been good to us. You've kept us safe thus far, and we want to say thank you. We pray for those that perhaps had prayer requests but were unable to get them in. We trust and pray, Father, that you will look into their individual situations and grant them the help that they need. Help the church to become a much better place for the hurting. Help us to not to wound our wounded. Help us to embrace them and love them, fuse them with the truth of your word, that their lives can become better. Continue to watch over us and keep us, is our prayer in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.